It is now 7:03. We will start this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission on May 16th. Roll, Chairperson Simon. Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts. Commissioner Veazey.
Here.
Commissioner Raitt. And Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
All right, 5 voting members present. We do have a quorum. If business is public comments, we have none. So we'll move right on into our planning for 23 goals and initiatives. I mean, we can absolutely do commission reports. If anybody has anything to share?
A quick one. I spoke, that was not well attended, but I spoke at a Monday coffee at the library that the township does, because at Planet Green they had talked about Illinois Solar for All, which has, it's, you have to income qualify for it, but the, I think for seniors, the qualifications were not that, it's not what I would characterize as completely low income, just income qualified. And with the Illinois Solar for All, which is state-run plan, it's like the community solar, but they get a 50% reduction as opposed to the 20% reduction.
What else? Yeah, I mean, I figured that would be part of this discussion. Did we want to start off with that then, or did you want to? Got it.
That's
all
fine.
Right. Did you want to sort of give some background and history?
Yeah. So Eric had reached out to Beth and I because he knew he was going to be a little bit late for tonight's meeting. And so I just thought a good place to start, since we have some new commissioners, is to talk about sustainability plans that we had in the past. And the one sort of solid one was, I have a copy of it here, the Planet Green plan that we were part of from the beginning. This is dated 2011, but I think it started in 2010, and it was a 10-year plan, and had some really, really specific things about amounts of annual reduction and what our goals were. And even though it's a 10-year plan, it has goals that extended out further than that. So I just bring that up because that is a potential starting point that we can review those, we can review those guidelines and objectives and see if that's even, and I guess also trace our progress since Shannon's last time she evaluated this. And so that's a potential starting point to have something very concrete instead of like in the other plan that we have was developed. This was when Lisa Gillis was our chair. In February 2020, it was presented to the Board of Trustees. And at some of these objectives referred back to the how they fit in with the Planet Green objectives, and other ones sometimes just were a little bit more vague and said the purpose of this program is to reduce something or to increase. Those are two sort of starting places. This is, I don't know if you included a link to this, but this is available online if you just type in Planet Green Sustainability Plan. Unfortunately, it's not, there's not like, you know, a page where it's very succinct. But then there's also the community sustainability reports. And so if we did want to use some of these as a departure point, we could pull up the objectives or state a little bit more succinctly.
I did link to that.
And you did link to
the email I sent out today.
So, and what I wanted to suggest or put out there is that, so this was a 20-year, a 10-year plan, and unfortunately, in 2020, there was not a report card because it was in the beginning, it was in the middle of COVID, and it was believed that the numbers would just not, it would be a lot of work to have numbers which were not very representative of trends. So the decision was made. So this is the last sort of solid one. But looking back at this report card, there were all these different areas, and I can just read through them. It was energy, transportation, education, waste, water, food, community development, economic development, and open space and ecosystems. And there were really only two where both villages were really missing the mark, and that was energy, which had a D, which the commentary that goes with that is goals have not been met. And then there was also a trend, and that was sort of there's not much improvement. It's not great, and there's not much improvement. And the second worst rating was on waste, and that was a C, again, with a trend. But everything else had a B, and open space and ecosystems was even an A. So pretty good progress on most aspects of that. And I thought one way that we could do this would be to sort of focus on the things that we are not doing very well at this point. If I know there's been discussion about, we're a small commission, there's not a lot we can do. And so, I thought one thing we can do is we can start with the things that are not going as well, unless we have some updated information that tells us things are better now than they were in 2018. So, and this is also available, and Seth, that he provided a link for that.
I just put it up on the screen.
Yay! And actually, so, maybe we could look at, since you have it up there, maybe we could look at one of these. Could you pull up page 6, which is just going to be the next page, and this is energy, because it just gives a nice, on the left, it talks about the goals, and the goals are coming right out of this sustainability plan. And so, as you can see, they're pretty concrete. Increased renewable energy procurement, 25% by 2020. I think we did, my recollection, Shannon, is we did actually manage to do that largely through the RECs, which are temporary, so that 50% by 2030 and 75% by 2040. That is, I believe, compared to the 2010 numbers. Decrease overall energy use by 2% annually. Reduce GHG emissions to 30% below 2007 levels by 2020, 35% by 2025, 45% by 2030, and increase solar renewable energy development and procurement. So I think this is also something that Lisa lists as a high priority for the village. Unless there are any questions, most basic of backgrounds.
So I very intimately with Planet Green. Like when I went, focus areas that at the time. So I think I agree. It's a totally great. The 2020 work. That was a really nice. I thought it was. I know there's a lot in there, but what we did then in early 2020, there was so much great work that doing, whether or not it aligned with that plan, really kind of compiled all of that and documented all of it. And I remember we were kind of doing a little bit of like, what do we just keep managing and keep it going, because it's great, important work, and we need to be doing it. And then started the conversation about what to. The one recommendation would be to. We need to take a step back and think about what to focus on. A lot of strategy work in my work, and what I find is if you try to do too much. I think we need to simplify ourselves. I would recommend the Planet Green stuff again. I think it was really ahead of its time. Try to focus in on the top 5 to 10. It has a lot of goals in there, but I think simpler is. I would just also recommend. And it's. I think setting goals around things we need to move or improve on, setting goals, but then also identifying.
I guess I'll chime in a little history from my perspective is not to make Seth drag up another document. And I know I don't think it's necessary to go into too much history, but just there is somewhere when the commission was first created. Was that 2017 or 16? I don't know if anybody remembers, but the very first kind of plan report, it did follow these five substantive areas that are also on page 6 or 7 of this 2020 plan. If you scroll down to maybe next one, next page, I think. Yeah, this page. So I just, for historical purposes, right, there were these areas, energy, transportation, water, waste, green ecosystems, and then at the bottom is education. So those are carryovers from, like, when the commission was first created. That impact row at the bottom was added in 2020, and we just haven't really been able to keep up with metrics. But, you know, those main categories, they mostly align with the Planet Green. Their Planet Green has a few more. So that's just kind of context, more history. I think it's a great idea, Susan, to sort of the areas like energy and waste, they make sense to me. You know, it's always hard to kind of let go of the green ecosystem stuff, but in terms of maximum impact and, you know, I totally agree with Shannon, is that everybody tries to be comprehensive in these plans, and then you can't even get your arms around it. So if we're willing to kind of say, we're just going to focus on this, doesn't mean the other stuff's not important, but this is where we're going to try to move the needle. You know, I think
I will just note this, this sheet right here. I believe it's this column.
Mm-hmm.
The second to the right column is the first column in the spreadsheet here. Yeah.
The first column.
I believe so.
Rooftop
solar community choice aggregation.
Yeah.
So that goes down and then added things below there for based on Trustee Gillis's email and the things she had added, and then the final section was things I had found in 2019 Village Comprehensive Plan that refer back to the sustainability.
Yeah, and I mean, thank you for putting this together, and I think it's really helpful to have it all in the same place so we can see overlaps, but I do think it is helpful to keep the big categories in mind because otherwise it's granular. And I will say that I think this page and this list, this simplified list, you know, it's pretty good representation of the different tactics and initiatives under each area. And so I thought that this page was helpful. The other thing that I would say I've never really thought about consciously with what this commission does is the reference back to the Village Comprehensive, which you pulled in, and it kind of made me wonder, like, oh, you know, there's a lot in there about sustainability, so at a minimum, we should be aware of it, and second, we should either tie back into it, or the mission is like, well, that's what they said in 2019, but I don't think, like, the phrase greenhouse gas emissions was even conversation. I don't see that anywhere in the comprehensive plan. So I think, Seth, you would have to guide us on what extent, you know, refer to that or can sort of say you want to, you know, move on from that or expand because thinking has changed.
How often are these comprehensive plans? Do you know?
I do not know. I think they are typically 5 to 10 years is less. And just all the, like, the format, the simplification, one of the things Eric and I discussed when we spoke on the phone today, has anyone seen the annual work plans that Oak Park's? So here is what their environment and annual work plan is, how it's structured. Pages long, enabling language, the thing that affects the specific mission, what the project is, and then outcome. Some additional community design one, because it going or which time of happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think a format like that is always helpful when you get to implementation, but what I would just say that it's missing is it's missing that high-level statement of big goals, right? While there are outcome metrics for each specific thing, I feel like if we wanted to say is a big thing like energy and waste. Energy, we're mainly pushing community solar or something, right? Like the high level thing. Otherwise, this is still like a little bit kitchen sinky, you know? but the format is always helpful when you get down to implementation where you say like who's doing it, what's the time frame. And I do think we should look beyond 2023, even though. But yeah, this is just a list, and that other one is more.
Sort of, I guess, the mission statement or the charter. I don't know if this is like what's on our website. I know when I started, this was sort of like written out in the material. Is that like up to us to decide, or is that an ordinance, or is that like our mandates? I mean, it's written pretty generally. I'm not sure it's going to like really confine us in any way, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I took a look at that too. It's good to be aware of that. And
yeah, as we're thinking about kind of the categories and why we're pursuing something, making sure it's one of the four duties that we're assigned.
It's like the stuff that's on the website. So like on that Oak Park chart, this would be an enabling source.
Yeah, so one of those B one through four, we'd have to. You know, things like specifically talking greenhouse gas, could any environment, public health, I think it all very clearly falls under this. So direction or the focus or one of take it is general powers and duties. To what going forward this next year into the future, what we want those priorities to be. One of the things shared was the mail that Trustee Gillis had flung, and I believe the three she highlighted were reduction of gases, electrification, I don't know if anybody had those lines, if they had other things that they. Passes, I believe, was electrification of. Exactly how she worded the last one, but it was something.
I think she had another one about partnerships with other entities.
Maybe another section on that. Which I think is one area that we really haven't leaned into as much as we could.
Partnerships with the
partnerships
other
and,
yeah,
local
organizations.
Figuring out how to leverage and actually have them.
Oh, this thing's on. Probably hadn't met me. I'm a simpleton through and through, so I can't think complex. But first thing is, to what end? Electrification to what end? Collaborating with other entities to what end? Communications to what end? So getting to your point, we need to start with, I think, what are the maybe top priorities? And figure out what are the knobs that we can turn. And I'll sit here and say, yeah, we want to reduce greenhouse gases, but what knobs do we really have to turn? It could just become a dream, which then frustrates everybody. Or we can identify a few things that we can do and lay out what we think that'll overall accomplish. I think electrification, I think more broadly than just some plug-in chargers, so electrification of homes versus natural gas, and so on and so forth. So from my standpoint, I think we should just start with number one focus we're going to have, a couple, and then break it down into a handful of things that we can do, that we can control, that will influence those things. And then what is our measure?
Mm-hmm.
Because I say we're going to have a 50%, 60% or whatever reduction in greenhouse gases. I mean, my old bosses would give me that. You're going to have 50% year over year, and I don't care how you get there, but you're not going to get any more resources to do it. I mean, I was good with that. But on the other hand, so if we think we can achieve it, and we think we've got the authority to do the things we need to do, then we'll take on those kind of challenges. Otherwise, we need to do it based on what we think we can accomplish. That's my opinion. And greenhouse gases is obviously the thing of the day. That's all you hear about, right? So that clearly has to be one of them. And if there is another one, then I would suggest let's get that on the table. Otherwise, let's just stick with that and then identify no more than five types of things.
Totally agree. And to me, she said greenhouse gas reduction. Actually, it's separate, but. So maybe out, I think, a lot of and there is more of a, like, rec strategy of how we're getting. I don't know if we can also drive energy. One that's pretty hot. What?
They have three.
Could you explain what that is? Preparedness for what?
So a lot of the time when you talk climate transition, you both focus on what you need to do to reduce your own greenhouse gas footprint, climate change. Second part would be preparing for the physical impacts of, and you know, other. I think we probably, you know, but I think a little bit this commission, I don't know how much we, I don't know if we should start talking about climate preparedness, but with flooding and things like that, I don't know if we would be weighing in with that in the village. Or strategy around, or at least just follow on Oak Park.
Sometimes the other words that are used for that are the difference between attempts to mitigate and adaptation, basically. But,
and resiliency is also.
Waiting for management.
And the village actually has made progress on this. Like the bioswales are part of that effort, and coolest thing about River Forest, permeable alleys, which
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I think I agree with you, and I also think it would be good because I think we could pull in and highlight the things that the village has done and what remains.
I want to add on to what Gary said about, like, if there's some other goal to articulate to put on the table now, because my struggle always with the greenhouse gas emission thing is there's the Planet Green things, right, that say reduce by 50% by whatever year, and we met the 2020 goal of reducing by, what was it, 30% since 2007 because of that aggregation contract, right? And it goes to Gary's point about like setting goals and having like I guess I have trouble with the, I can't see the path. And I know the idea, you know, is often like, well, there's the goal. So you got to figure it out. And if you don't know how to do it yet, well, whatever. But this is something that with our commission, our limited resources, the fact that the village is a relatively small village, we don't have like industry to convert or something. I always sort of feel like we're setting ourselves up for not feeling very good about, you know, the goals. Like, I don't know if Shannon, if you think that like whatever it is, 50% reduction by 2030 is, you have like a vision for how to do that. But so that's one question. And but I want to say that I've always had in my mind actually these sort of twin goals, that one would be greenhouse gas emission reduction. And I agree that the electrification essentially kind of falls under that. And I would tweak Lisa's thing about, I think she called it communication, she might have called it education, but I would love to state that twin goal, something along the lines of basically increasing participation and engagement by residents, and it could be entities as well, to pick up like the partnership thing, because that's something I feel like we can control more and influence, right? And I don't know if it really adds up ultimately to this huge reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, but that's where you would still be able to selectively pick some of these events that we do, right? You still couldn't do all of them, and maybe you would do them focused on the substantive areas of energy and waste, and you would need some kind of baseline, I guess, to figure out how many residents participate in at least one sustainable type living behavior, whether it's, you know, compost or signing up for community solar. Like, in theory, that's the way I would see it, right? And say that, like, I have no idea. Like, what percentage of our residents do we think do something? I don't know. It might be 30%. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, in a year or two, like, 75% of the village residents do something? Like, the whole sustainability way of living is, like, DNA or something like that. And, hey, Eric. I'll just give like one example and I'll stop because I want to hear what people have to say. But suppose you had a goal that said we want to increase participation, and you've also got this thing about electrification. And, you know, Jeff, I had so much fun talking with you last time afterwards about your purchase of the Rivian. And, you know, I've said before that I thought it'd be cool now that we're in person, go back to events. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have like a River Forest electric car show? Like, you know, get that space up by the pavilion. Say, if you own an electric or a hybrid, bring your car up there. If you're thinking about purchasing one, you don't know where to start researching, come up, you know, get a chance to see some different models without going to a dealer. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that particular event, but I wanted to share it as a vision, I guess, because to me, like, it can be very lonely trying to, like, feel like you're doing your little part, right? And if you could meet other people in the village who are doing stuff, hear what they're doing, hear how they're doing it, it might inspire people to, like, try, right? There's my little spiel. A proposed twin goal to go along with the greenhouse gas.
I wanted to speak to your first point about being reluctant to set out a goal that we might not be able to meet. And the only thing I would say is that I don't think we would be alone. You know what I mean? I mean, these are ambitious goals. And the problems that we're having getting people to fall in line are the same problems that you have in every other village, no matter how many staff employees you have. You know, you might have a slicker website and all this other stuff, but we're all facing the same constraints in terms of doing that. And so I just feel like the one thing I would really want to firmly hold on to is that we have something measurable and that we measure the progress, because we have done great things. But, you know, I think one of the things that Seth threw in is that, you know, we spent a lot of time working on the ordinance on the single-use plastics, and we have no idea if anybody adheres to that. And so, you know, I think whatever we do, there should be a standard that we're shooting for. We should measure it, and then we should be very open about we missed this, because I think that in itself, I mean, it might discourage some people, but I think for other people, it'll say, we need to work harder, because this is what we're shooting for, and we're not alone. I mean, we are in line with, you know, the entire Paris Accord in terms of trying to hit these goals, and we would not be the only ones.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the thing is, the single-use plastic ordinance is an example of something that is concrete, that you can get your arms around. You can say, let's check with all the restaurants and see if they've done it. That, like, I have no problem with saying, we want 100% of the restaurants to never do any of this, and we somehow go around and check, and, you know, maybe we hit 75% or 80%. The bigger issue I have with the greenhouse gas thing is with every single little municipality trying to say, we as a municipality are going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 50%, because I feel like, you know, these are things that they're influenced by much, they need to be influenced by things on a much larger scale, right? Like policies at the state level or national level. Like, we would not be able to drive increased of electric vehicles without, like, the big things that have happened or are happening. We can't just sort of sit here and say, go buy an electric car if there aren't bigger things driving production and costs down and all of that. That's what I mean about greenhouse gas thing. So,
and I think on that point, it would be, I don't know how broad, high level we want to set our goals. If it is, you know, like, I think the state has, we have 20 years per the state to eliminate greenhouse gas and electricity generation. So, like, us doing nothing, our, like, in theory, our greenhouse gas emissions should be going down substantially every year for the next 20 years. So maybe it is broader goal of reducing it is maybe more taking some of the friction out locally of, like the electrification and, well, like what we were doing with SoulSmart, but, like, kind of that sort of projects on the things that we identify as maybe being things that might be overcome in 10 years, but how do we make it easier for somebody to adopt electrification earlier, and not necessarily give it as broadly as, like, yeah, at some point, I guess, get down to the scale where we have some goals and projects that are very, like, achievable, and we have kind of six-month time frames for looking at codes or programs and reporting back instead of having, like, a 5 or 10 year. Probably need both, so I'm not saying.
Well, to your point, some of this, you're going to, you know, it took me a long time with a lot of hammers in my head to understand this. You have to look back 10 years to see what you did. I mean, there's this thing called the 100th monkey. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that study. You're smiling, right? Where, you know, one monkey goes down to the water and starts washing an apple. And this is actually a scientific study. And it was abnormal. You know, they don't normally wash the apples. And then the second one did it. Then the third one did it. And it wasn't until you got to the 100th that then the whole troop switched over. So a lot of what we're doing, to me, is a 100th monkey type of stuff. So just my own mind and the short time I've been on this, you know, I think our biggest opportunities in leveraging our own talents and resources is really on this communication front that's tied to these higher-end things we want to try and achieve. And I don't know that we're going to be able to measure them all directly. So we're going, you want to have electric vehicle parade day, right? So the first year there's cars, and the second year there's cars, and then third year 200 cars, so on and so forth. Then you can start to see that progress. But to say we're going to go in effect and bring down greenhouse gases by some huge percent when we don't have that knob to turn, if we save it, and we're also talking green electricity, right? Want to go into a coal-fired plant or a natural gas-fired plant. So what are the things that we can do, to your point, to aid the community, to help them to continue to move everyone's thinking forward on these kinds of things? Tied to these higher end, this is kind of where we're pointing our efforts to do that. So if it's, you know, the greenhouse gases and then waste, and I'm huge on waste, as Seth knows, I bugged him a couple times in the last week. And, you know, that just to help people know, what do you do with things? How do you handle it? And here's how you can participate. So, just some of my thinking.
I wonder, too, if there's, bring up, like, more problems versus solutions. Things like electrification, like, if everyone is now driving an electric car to to Jewel every day for groceries instead of walking or biking, you're not really achieving measured improvement on sustainability. So we shouldn't sort of forget about like other aspects of sustainability, but also like finding a balance, I guess, of how much time or education spend on programs.
All waiting for you to wave the magic wand. No, to help us come up with a strategic plan.
I just wanted to speak to one thing. The state actually does track electric vehicles in every village. Have you seen that data?
No.
Okay, because I can since that was one of your examples. I mean, we don't literally need to drive them down the street because. And I've since somebody brought it up at Planet Green, I've been tracking it, and it comes out monthly, but I just keep track of it quarterly, and then I do like percentage increases and everything, and I do that for River Forest, Oak Park, and for Cook County, and the increases are just phenomenal. And but I think one thing we can do is I think we can publish that, because I think one thing that makes people feel more comfortable is to think and I'm in this category. So, I'm not going to be like the first person that reaches out for new technology. But when you hear, there are already, 450 electric vehicles. I made up that number. But I don't know what it is. Whatever the number is in River Forest, it might make people feel more comfortable about it, in addition to having EV chargers. Because the reality is that most people are going to charge in their homes. And so maybe that's something that we can publish, and we don't have to literally drive them down the street. But anyway, just wanted to add that.
I just think visual. So how do you make things visual? To your point, how do you get them excited? How do you get them to those types of things? If you down to, Forest Park when they have their old car show, I mean, it's packed. Or when they park them up there on Harlem at some of the fast food places, it's packed. People come by. So it's just another way of communicating.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and also to that point, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the forest preserves had a, day in the forest preserves, and there actually was an electric vehicle there, and it was really helpful. It was all, open, and you could look in the hood, and it was a fairly well-attended thing, but, yeah, I think that's definitely something that we can do again and replicate.
I guess one final thought maybe before we, I think it'd be helpful for me is I feel like I just, but to get, I feel like there's been some projects I've been able to work on that have been kind of very clear, and others I kind of feel like where can I be more helpful? And so, as part of the plan, maybe figuring out ways that people can kind of get, here's the umbrella of projects. Like a couple people or a couple commissioners can collaborate and have some lanes that people, we have kind of ownership ability of projects that might would help me maybe kind of more. Made it sound like I have a lot of free time. So
no, it makes total sense.
Which we all do.
I'd say lanes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the premise in the detail of the 2020 plan, is if you really dive into it, every page, every project has an owner and all that kind of stuff. There were just too many projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big document. I don't know where you guys are at, but if there's momentum, keep it going. Don't let me slow it down. Still talking about kind of philosophy or. I don't need a recap.
Want to try, Seth, to recap for him?
No, don't. Please don't. That's
I think it's kind of important for you.
Yeah, so we started just with an overview of the history of, the Planet Green sustainability plans, the 20 Sustainability Commission plan, and then got into the sort of what we want sort of priorities to be. Greenhouse gas seems like involved in taking action on their own.
Curbing village greenhouse gas emissions, electrification is part of that versus its own education piece, and then, yeah, the resiliency.
I would just like to make sure that we don't just call it, it's called either, you know, education or something like that, because I think part of the problem during the pandemic is that our communication became, communication is like a one-way pushing of information, whereas like education and engagement is like, and so you have some kind of two-way conversation going on, you know, not just between the village and the residents, but among residents. So we just, the pandemic kind of forced us into our only method of communication was pushing email, and I feel like that's just important but limited, right? So maybe it could be called, I like engagement actually, and you said outreach or something. I guess engagement is the greenhouse gas emissions, you want to increase engagement, and I guess doing that through education and the communication channels. And by the way, Seth, whether it's you or somebody else in the village that's putting content in the e-newsletter, you know, it's great. There seems to always be the something there for the Sustainability Commission. They seem to be pertinent.
Yeah, this last week I realized we had missed International Compost Awareness Week.
Yeah.
So I got something really quick, and then we're going to retroactively adopt a village project.
Your point to a partnership.
And that can be under the engagement, right? Yeah. It's engaged residents and whatever you want to call it, river forest entities, and that way we get Lisa's thing about partnerships in there. Well, and then maybe somehow the sub part of that is what Susan was saying, is that within those areas, like what are the levers that we can pull for greenhouse gas emissions? Well, it's energy specifically, right? And the, I'm not sure the waste thing, if that, that fits partly under reduction of, but it's also something where, that's one of those things where I feel like everybody's mindset just has to change, right, about how they waste and not thinking about where all this is going is, mindset changes. I mean, some impact on the emissions, not as much as the energy changes, right?
Correct. Yeah, because it's, you don't want to. That is one that I feel like, I don't know, probably more opportunities for. Village has done incredible. But I would agree. The ones that, to me, that could be missing, even though I started this meeting with saying, try to do less is more. I don't know if we want to say goals. They're like, on goals around them.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to give up the green ecosystem stuff, right? It's I don't know how else to focus. I don't know that we do a lot on water, but those areas, the topic areas, are the ones that have been listed from the beginning. Waste, water, green ecosystems. And
I do feel like those fall under engagement. You know, we've always done a certain amount of activities that engage the community and all these different issues, as well as other issues that we're not even. The less is more.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to thread the needle here. Less is more, yet we.
Maybe there's a way to kind of, you know, do like a tier one, tier two, tier three, so it doesn't disappear really, but it's clear. Energy and waste.
You know, but I would argue we're not letting go of things when we're like, you know, getting back to the report, we're looking at what's working and what I would say has a life of its own. So I hear a lot of awareness when I talk to people. And I think one of the reasons is that there's not very much pain associated with ecosystems. I mean, you know, you go out, you buy native plants, everybody's pretty happy. It's a lot easier than telling somebody like, hey, you need to adjust your lifestyle because it's too wasteful. So I wouldn't say that we're letting go of it, and we certainly wouldn't let go of any of our programs. I mean, we have our community gardens, and those would all keep going. But it's just in terms of, like, where is the focus and energy of this commission, you know, recognizing that it's a very limited resource that we have, and where can we have the biggest impact? And I think we can have the biggest impact at the things that are not necessarily working. And so that's hard because none of us like to say, like, oh, wow, like, we're barely moving it. But I think as a commission, it's also our job to focus residents on, like, this is what's not working. And in terms of ecosystems, it's working pretty well. So I don't think they need a lot of help by us. So since this is a very, very scarce resource, let's take it, you know, and use this tool to its greatest impact, I would say it.
Yeah, you do them all. You do them both, right? So to your point, I mean, you can still have the list. But you've got, you know, this is part of just how we behave now. These are the things that say every year here. Something else crops in, you say, yeah, let's go add that on, fine. But where are you going to focus all your attentions? Here at these meetings, what are we going to focus on? Well, we're going to advance now to working on these things that we need to spend time on that aren't to the same level as the others, then that's what you do. See, you don't just chop them out of the plan, but you put them there and you put the word, you know, new current processors. So I would agree with what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. You aren't going to lose them, but where are you going to focus your attention?
Walk through. All right, so we have these priority categories. I want to walk through some of the ideas that and start to kind of work through those. So what I'm talking about documents everybody has.
I just pointed out there's a couple copies of the spreadsheet I initially sent you. Commission plan and the
okay. Yeah, I was going to say, while Seth is pulling that up, and before we get into the weeds, is I think it would be helpful if we say some sort of like a one-pager that articulates high-level goals, right, and relatively within there the focus on energy and waste, and then I could see accompanying that eventually work plan type thing. There should be like a one-pager.
We're talking about that. There's got to be a one-pager. This is like the, like this is like a place where it's like the elevator speech. Explain what we do in one page, then our mission to, you know, especially since we have challenges explaining to the community what we're doing and why these ideas are important. So yeah, I do agree that this, like, this needs to result in a one pager, and if behind that there's a more comprehensive document that tracks these things, great. And I think we kind of start more with the one pager. By the way, like, all this stuff's in our heads, so we're and a lot of it's documented. We're really just trying to rebrand a lot of the stuff we've already done. This is
that spreadsheet I had sent you 20, and then below that is the stuff that Phyllis had sort of outlined, and that is the.
Gotcha.
Is that what you were?
No, that's cool. Do you mind scrolling down to the 2023?
on the list already accomplished. So, Shannon has gone through and compared the.
Although we haven't heard from Shannon.
So, like, okay, so curious how this aligns with yours. So this was Lisa, like, you coming up with, like, the priority groups and then listing within those priority groups what, like, these high-level things are, like, not the detail, but the high-level, like, the spirit of the one-pager. Here's kind of where your head's at with that line.
Oh, yeah. Where should I start?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Want the spreadsheet or your email?
There's a nice little PDF that we got that provided of overview of our greenhouse gas emission inventory. And I got to speak with them like 2 Christmas breaks ago when they were starting this project. They had just started it. So in a cool way, it's kind of fun to see where this came. And an awesome, I mean, this insane tool, I think, for a lot of communities. I'll be honest, I was also nervous looking. I wonder if we're going to even be close to what they in a great way. We were really close.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. But
yeah.
We did have different numbers in certain places. I think they're going to be very so I found it overall was pretty well aligned with my bottoms-up calculation that I did, and I did it. They're going to be very valuable to use for natural gas, electricity use, and our passenger vehicle use, which are our 3 most material categories for greenhouse gas emissions. It lined up, and quite frankly, they had better calculation approaches than I did. Like they had ComEd, what are called emissions, directly from ComEd. So I think we can use theirs for these big categories. And they had a waste number, but their waste number was based on like high level regional modeling that was backed out from the waste facilities. And it was a lot higher than ours, obviously, and didn't really demonstrate all the great work we do to have diversified. We are so good at recycling and composting. And then we did do all this great work like a few years ago to figure out forest land. So overall, I say yes, we use it, especially because it gives us the better, more material categories. Waste, I would recommend we still do our own little waste tracking. I don't know if because Roy Strom has been. Was always a pride of this commission.
Yeah, so I did not include that on this month's packet, but I'll have the most recent 2 months next month, and it'll show up through the.
We used to have to ask Roy Strom, but they're like reporting it to us every month. That's way better.
And I would recommend we still follow that one because it really
it's
shows us
local.
How great
yeah.
we do. The only question was they just gave us 2019. It would be every year. Yeah, but probably look at our own.
Good shout out to how accurate you were on this. That's crazy.
Amazing. This lives somewhere. Than in an email, right? Like you need to.
Yeah. So there's a spreadsheet attached, and I saved your email and the spreadsheet both separately into a sustainability folder that I have just so I've permanently got it. So.
Good.
All right. So in the topic of curbing village greenhouse gas emissions, MAP is kind of the first big step of maintaining that.
I just have this issue because when I go to these meetings, everybody's like flying around with all these. And I think we should, for anybody who's listening and for anybody who hasn't heard before, I think we should just state out what CMAP is so people can follow the conversation. Agency on planning?
Yep.
million tons of
agency?
Yeah. Smaller is better. We have like the year over year actually, because this 2007, it's amazing. For Planet Green. The way to use the big thing is our REC, renewable energy credit. So without, that's going to be the biggest thing to make big difference. Some of the community solar things, like, anyways, I think it is just power as we set our goals of what we want. So that's what, so CMAP did every community, which is cool. I guess
and did it by counties as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, every community is different. We are small and have no income, so we are very small, especially. So Evanston was one I used. They do actually have a lot of industry. Plus, they have all the. They're just interesting. Ours is really.
I think the county information can be really helpful there, because that sort of, you know, brings us into similar communities and just saying, you know, this is where Cook County is, this is where River Forest. And then I think everybody just likes to know where Oak Park is, just because we're so close and work so collaboratively in so many different areas.
The centerpiece of the measure. We all need to be.
And then you don't have any numbers there for RECs. Are those included in the 122,000 or?
So ours didn't. Look at.
Oh, okay. It's because you're looking at 2019. Okay.
Look at, if you pull up in that Excel spreadsheet. Right?
It was like a 26% impact or something. It was huge.
Very impact of
had some reduction. Sort of.
Thousand X there in 20.
Probably to go up with all the electric. Big drop at the top line that we. And we also had Rex in 21. That's part of the power of this data, is really going to move needle. Time. The pulled data from sources. The power of that CMAP data is they're actually getting the data directly from Common and not. We have to do it ourselves now. We're also using more efficient.
not have the data going back? I mean, I know they only reported 2019. So that's something we could do. We could reach out to them and say, do you have a time series on this data? If we want to look at over time.
Are they updating annually, the expectation, or?
Fast and often.
I believe this was released late last fall. Okay.
But now that they have the techniques, I think a reason to think that they can crank it out a lot.
I mean, it was so hard for Shannon to get, like, I mean, months and months to get some of those. So, I mean, of course, it's going to be easier. Okay. This is sweet. Our accountability tool. This is the big measurement. So if you can flip back to that. Do you have more?
In conclusion, we should. To the right. If you go to the water chart tab.
I can easily solve
smart. Oh, yeah, because you're measuring what's.
Yeah, and this, a chart similar to this showing sort of monthly usage of current year and the past 2 years is in the monthly reports that go to the village board. Typically, the first board meeting of the year, you can page long packet and see a report that includes this. Also, you know, if you want to know sweeping streets or planting trees or outlined in there.
High level of detail.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, for some of these things that we have such good data on, does it make sense to have, instead of, like, you know, saying, well, you can go back to this report and pull it out. I mean, that sounds very time consuming to me. But does it make sense, like, in the same way that I'm tracking electric vehicles, that we just have a document? Because, for example, when Seth said that they were meeting with a consultant to talk about EV, I said, oh, maybe this will be helpful to him. I sent it to you. And you're like, yeah, you know, that's really helpful. But and it might even encourage other people who are working on projects, or maybe if we're providing really good data and some, you know, somebody from the universities wants to do a project and they see that this is really easily available in River Forest. And so, you know, we could get some really good results. So I wonder if that's one thing that we can talk about, that in addition to collecting this data, and it kind of gets at this big delay that, you know, maybe we're pulling it all together on a quarterly or annual basis. But, you know, if somebody wanted to look at waste instead of just pulling out, like, all of these individual things, we're just actually tracking it there. And we could talk about, you know, we don't want to put a big burden on you, but we could talk about what the easiest way to do something. And back to Jeff's point, maybe if each of us took, like, one thing that we tracked and it was just like, okay, waste numbers come out, put them into your spreadsheet, and you know, you sort of own that one piece of data, and then it's all at the ready. And so when we have a question, we just pull it out.
Yeah, so waste numbers, I can at least provide monthly numbers going back to last April when the
Provide it, put it in a spreadsheet, and
yep.
and then keep adding to it.
Yeah, so yeah. That's essentially what how the monthly reports sort of match with the general things, and then I can easily do the same with, we have working spreadsheets with water usage like this.
Yeah, so maybe that's two things that you could do, and then we could track really easily, like, compost, and because we use this. You know, we use this number of the number of people that are on compost, but really what's much more important is how much are they composting.
That is in those monthly LRS reports.
Yeah, as is recycling.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of this is built now of, like, how to show, annualize. I could talk you through this maybe. Well, I'm also happy to.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be
And I think another thing, if we did track monthly things like waste, you know, we might find patterns that there are certain, you know, I sort of noticed that when I was looking back over it. We might notice patterns that there's certain months that waste, like, really shoots up. And we're going to be losing that in the annual data. But if it's in the monthly data, we can say, like, hey, okay, what's going on this month that, you know, our waste numbers go up? And then in terms of our education, we can really focus on that. We can let people know, like, you know, we're doing a really good job on waste, but, you know, come December, the dams break and everything goes up. And so I think there's a lot of useful things that we could do with that. And, you know, would make it feel more, you know, we talk a lot about, like, we don't have any impact on this or what we can do, but at least, like, honing in and knowing what it is, then we can, that can inform what we do.
It's also good in water one. There's a ship.
They addressed leaks.
Huh?
Yeah. They addressed leaks.
Right. Address leaks.
It's
be
so good to put those things on
sure.
there so that you can show.
It could be weather related,
right.
right? If you have a wet summer that.
Waste chart. Our leaf collection composting, that is tracked in a separate document than the LRS reporting stuff. Leaf collection with our public work staff, but I can easily write that in and have a.
Bring it to the compost number.
Yep.
Although, I mean, in my mind, I would keep those separate because.
Yeah, I was just saying,
I mean,
that
it's not,
I would have to add it to that document. Tracked on a separate. Internal document.
But even in terms of environmental impact, I mean, like, yeah, it's great that we pick up leaves, but is it really having an environmental impact that we collect leaves? You know what I mean? So we can talk about this more. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is composting and it does end up in our compost bins, but I mean, don't you agree? Like, if a village left the leaves on the ground versus is picked up on the street, is one more environmental than the other? Is one having more? I mean, you could almost argue the opposite, that environmentally it's probably better to leave the leaves and get the biodiversity and the mulch. And so.
And I smelled my neighbors had a nice leaf burning or a pile of burning leaves the other day.
That's another level. That's a whole other level.
Are we tracking that? Carbon emissions? Okay. Map stuff's great. Going back to this document, you know, we'll try to get through as many of these as we can in the time we have allotted for this meeting, and we're just going to have to continue this. So the second kind of primer here was under curb greenhouse gas emissions was introduce all village or river forest organizations Planet Green, and they're offered to help with the development of sustainability policy and plan development. Right now, only the school districts have taken advantage of it. So comments on this as far as like a main priority under curbing emissions, like an interesting take on.
I actually think if we are in agreement that the two main priorities are curbing emissions and increasing engagement, I think that one falls under the increasing engagement thing. It's not a direct impact
both,
on
but I agree it starts as engagement and then hopefully it equates to reduction. I mean this one's always a kind of a little bit of a point of frustration. Just because getting the township and getting the park district and just alignment and collaborating and all that is just something we haven't been able to accomplish.
I mean, I feel like the engagement component is almost like a whole strategic session in itself. I mean, I think we have to really talk about what kind of leverage we have over, you know, leverage, incentive. Part of it is education and reaching out, but it's, you know, historically very hard to get their attention. And
that's a whole project.
I don't think, you know, I don't think because something's difficult means we shouldn't do it. I mean, it just means that we need a strategy. We need to think about.
I don't think this is that difficult. I think this focused on it, we could get this.
Right. We just have to, you know, you say we haven't done it, but you know, we have to raise it up in terms of our priority to say, you know, there's no way, you know, we can have all the goals in the world, but if we don't engage the colleges and the really, really big impact on our village, then
okay,
we're not going to get there.
So I'm hearing that we should probably like put this more into the engagement category than the reduce emissions category.
Engage with the ultimate goal of reducing emissions.
Right. Start this engagement.
Look at a business plan. Top level things and the ones that connect. Well, I don't know how you do this, but I'll call it level reduce carbon without engaging. Part of it versus a whole separate subset. I mean, they're still, you attack them like you're saying, they got to be, have on them, but it gets back to why am I doing the engagement? I'm doing the engagement to get people involved in helping this, and this. Doing engagement to do engagement, that's something totally different. That's, to me, a party, right?
Yeah, I think it's just, though, to me, it's a bit of a Venn diagram type thing, right? Like, engagement can help you reach the decreased greenhouse gas emission goals, but there's engagement that has these other types of beneficial sustainability, environmental impacts.
Absolutely.
Those
become the top level. I see it as more of a basket weave versus a VIN. What are my initiatives? I got things I'm doing that are kind of what you just said, you know, the waste or whatever you want to put across there, and then you've got engagement's key to all of it.
Right. It's a thread that connects
through that. And they also leverage your resources and what you're doing upon multiple things at the same time. Looking at it.
Yeah.
I think another thing that we've never tried is we haven't tried reaching out to the boards of these bodies, because I think if we could get them engaged and encourage them to have goals that line up with the village's goals, then that would trickle down to the, you know, to the directors, which are, I personally have found it very hard to get their attention.
In my experience, too. Even other commissions, too, potentially. It's getting the Historical Preservation Committee to not remove people from, you know, their list if they put solar panels on a, you know, historic home, which is currently their, understandably, because that's their job, is literally to preserve the, you know, old unique look, but you know, it's those kinds of conversations to start having.
I wonder if they had lawn service back in historic, because they don't seem to get dinged when the lawn service comes in. Just a point.
I'm gonna let you have that conversation with that commission. They're actually great. They actually did invite us to talk to them a couple times because a issue had come up with a resident who had a historic home who wanted to add solar, and that resident was being told that they would potentially lose their status if they put solar on the roof. So their credit that commission did engage us. This was a few years ago in that conversation.
So make a suggestion about how to tackle this next stage, because you know, it'll take forever to go through each one individually.
Right.
And I feel like, well, one thing that could happen, you know, maybe before the next meeting, is to collect all of the things that are related to energy/electrification from not only Lisa's list, but the comprehensive plan, you know, whatever. And like you said, there's a lot of overlap among them. And what we need is some kind of principled way to prioritize them, right? And in theory, the way to do that would be which ones are most likely to have the biggest impact on greenhouse gas emissions. But I'm not exactly sure, like sitting here, that I could say, electrifying all of our buses versus bringing our EV charging station vision to life, which one is going to have
Can I ask a question on that? What buses?
Oh, this was...
We don't have any buses.
I think this was university buses or maybe school buses.
We don't have school buses.
I mean, certainly D200 having electric school buses would be helpful, but...
D200 doesn't have buses.
So I remember this conversation.
So I'm just going to say that's like a rabbit hole, right? Because it's just, in principle, it's like, does working on the EV charging station or hypothetical buses or community solar or replacing gas line equipment with electric, we have to prioritize those somehow. It's like, you know, 1, 2, 3 in terms of their likelihood of impact. And so the electrify all buses might get like a 3 because
I'd put a low priority on that because we have no buses.
Well, right. I'm just saying that the exercise we need to do and that I don't think we can necessarily sit here and do it tonight is gather all the things that are related to energy into like one list, right, from the different sources. Put the ones that are similar next to each other so that we have like a slightly shorter list.
Yeah, we can consolidate
and
some of them.
Yeah, maybe we're going to come out of it saying that the main thing we want to focus on is, I don't know, I think there's other things that are not on Lisa's list, actually. But we might say, oh, it's all about pushing for community solar. Or we might say it's all about the, you know, replacing gas line equipment with electric. Or that one is maybe for 24 or 25 because it's got delayed implementation. But the thing we can do right now, because it's within the village's control, is the EV charging station. I don't really know what she means by EV charging station bringing it to life.
I think it's trying to get some of this grant money to increase our charging, our municipal charging infrastructure.
And so just a couple quick updates on that. Did get the initial draft of the electric vehicle network infrastructure study. Jeff Loster and I reviewed it, sent back our comments, notes, and are expecting final report shortly, which I will share with you all, I would imagine, by the next meeting. And I did, just sort of using the location assessment from that, submit to be included in both Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus's Chicagoland broader federal grant application, one through the Finance Authority. All of our locations, all of the suggested fast charge stations and level 2, how much we can get, if anything, will come out of either of those. So
there's money. So hopefully, yeah. Is this through Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, or is this?
There's the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is submitting a grant application, and so is the Illinois Finance Authority. Submitted my suggestions in each of their forms.
If you weren't plugged in, you're good.
Yeah, no, we should be charging people, so there's some turnover there.
Oh, was there a car in that?
They
spot?
Were both occupied.
Oh, there wasn't,
yeah.
So I pulled in.
Oh,
was it the white Tesla?
Yeah, there was one.
I think it's somebody who lives in one of these buildings.
Oh, no, I don't think that's the
goal. Is there any thought to starting to charge there? Because I thought it was going to be initially, I thought the idea was to be initially free until
2 hours.
Until this happened. And
that's how most, you know, like ones I've used in Evanston, all the ones in Oak Park are 2 hours free and then it starts charging you. So no, we haven't, but we might want to revisit that. If we're going to increase the amount of these, we should probably, you know, build some policy around it just so works as intended. Yeah, some person parking for the night is not, I think, the intent, if that's what's happening.
Is it charging for charging?
Could I just backing up like 45 minutes, maybe? Did we agree on like the, I know, we, or so Gary kind of mentioned outreach has to be kind of a thread across, and then we said gas emissions and electric and other buckets of programs. Is that right? Or did we not decide?
So we had sort of discussed that and then throwing out like lower tiered ones. So there was, I've written down greenhouse gas emissions and engagement. Tier one, tier two, tier three. Wrote that down as tier one. Resiliency, waste, nature. Written down and what I can do prior to sort of review this massive scrolling document that I've created, see what is just completely duplicative, and then sort of categorize it as falling under one, maybe two of those categories.
So, and what I heard in some of that conversation, I think this is what you were saying, that ultimately the goal is top goal. And there's these categories, like electrification and like the education and engagement, that are kind of the focus, what we're going to focus on in order to achieve. And there's threads that are running through the thing, like outreach and what.
That is what Garrett said. I have a different vision, but I don't, you know, if ultimately the commission wants to go that way.
It's good for us to, like, leave here at least. Am I agreed on that? So if you have a revision, throw it out there.
Well, I guess that I see the greenhouse gas emissions and the increased engagement as two twin goals that are at the same level. I mean, I can totally see the way you're saying it as well, Gary, and it's, I guess it's simpler that way. You know, it doesn't, I suppose, in the end matter as long as you have both. It's just that some of the types of engagement I feel like are not directly related to significantly reducing greenhouse emissions and value on that. So my proposal
was
that.
Can you give me just an example?
Well, like I said, if we take the example of waste, if you compost more or recycle more, the effect on the greenhouse gas emissions, it's there, but it's very small from an incremental point of view. Yet there's still value in doing it, right?
Greenhouse gas. I'm just whatever along the top header. I mean, along vertical access engagement.
What to do with Susan, like the visual.
Right. All those notes. But it affects more than just its own. That's my only point on that.
So I'm sorry, can you explain your labels? Did you just make that?
That's how I picture.
Okay, wait.
So engagement crosses everything. Engagement is.
I didn't even notice that.
Greenhouse gas is a goal. Engagement's a process. Crosses all of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's fine.
That's
fine.
What I'm saying.
I mean, it's now we're starting to look very much like what we had before. If greenhouse gas emissions is not the sole thing at the top, and you also have resiliency, you also have green ecosystems, you also have water, and you also have waste, that looks pretty much like that chart, page 7 on the 2020 plan.
Actually, greenhouse gas is on the top.
Well,
it doesn't say how much effort you're putting in. Your engagement, for example, under waste, maybe the basic processes and communications you have in place today.
So here's maybe a suggestion is let's sketch this out.
Yeah, bring your draft back next time.
Because I don't know about you guys, I'm very visual too. So like it'd be interesting to see what this looks like.
I just want to say one thing, because I guess I do see it a little bit different than how Seth did it. So we have greenhouse gas emissions. We have to break that down into individual things. And then for each of those things, we need to have community engagement on that. So we can't just stay up here at this, like, total. We have each of the things, and, you know, who are the, you know, in terms of community engagement, who are the major people that we're communicating with? You know, is it residents? Is it business?
Who are we collaborating
universities,
with? Who are we
and
with?
Each of them are going to have a different type of engagement process. So, you know, I just think we have to take all of these skills and all this work we do and just focus with a little bit more precision, with a greater hope of moving the needle.
Yeah.
Even if we don't go as far as we're trying to,
sure.
At least we go further than we would if we were not focused.
So do you agree with those columns as separate, that GHG is separate from resiliency and nature and water and waste? And it's just that I think what Gary is saying is that there may be a bunch of stuff under water and whatever, but, you know, if you were to highlight where you're putting your efforts, it's going to be in that square that's like B2, basically, engagement with GHG.
Yes, I agree, but I think it has to be broken down, because if that's our focus, then there's so many different ways of doing that.
Would you be willing to take it, not a crack at, like, complete?
Like right now?
No. Like, just a framework.
Yeah,
to,
offline.
For, yeah. And then email it to everybody, because it just... What it looks like with a couple things filled in.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. You know, I think you will find if you look back at the 2020 plan that, as long as it is, there is a summary page in the 2020 plan that looks very much
like the one
like this. I can't. I'd have to look it up again.
I was thinking,
in the interest of moving
know.
Forward, I you know, I'm fine.
you temporarily can see the.
Are you guys, the way I was thinking of it too, I was picturing some of the, like, engagement, one of them. Like, another thing would be, like, policy, you know, like, is it, we need to discuss internally what we think our policy
should
be.
Zoning could be policy.
Like, that's separate from engaging. I mean, it's all eventually tied together, but there's components that if we're breaking down internally, like, steps we need to take to implement something. You know, there might be four or five categories of, like, there's engagement, there's figuring out the policy, there's figuring out who are the partners that are already, like, doing it, that maybe we're supporting them or maybe they're supporting us. Like,
but I would argue the policy is just another question of engagement. It's just, who are we engaging? So the engagement could be another commission. It could be the Board of Trustees. But it's basically this commission reaching out to others.
So I just... the action item is, and then sort of if there or what the engagement component is tied to that specific action item, and go back to something Gary had said early, is we look at all of these and we decide, you know, what are the top five, I think is what you had thrown out, or like want to focus on, and if it's 3, 4, 5 things under greenhouse gases and maybe just one or two things under the others that action on that makes
sense. And maybe we could introduce a time element too, you know, just as we said in all other contexts, that there are some things that we can do right away,
mm-hmm.
and there's some things that we just have to, you know, turn in that direction and start thinking about, but it might take 2, 3, 5 years, and we shouldn't get I think this is the hardest thing about working in sustainability, is that we're used to working in such shorter time frames, but when you have to think in terms of 10 years, and I think Gary said something similar, that, you know, it can get frustrating, but if you look back to 10 years ago, things are looking pretty good and probably better than I would have imagined 10 years ago. So, you know, putting a time element in that, so we have some things that we can do right away, but other things that we're just like, okay, we're just chipping away or starting to think about who would we engage to move this or something, and not give up because something has a longer term time frame. You know, it seems like one of the missions of the Sustainability Commission should be to have a longer term time frame than, you know, say the trustees.
Right. This is supposed to well outlive our tenure on the commission. Kind of the whole point of this is that new commissioners come on, commissions turn over, and the work just continues.
Maybe one other just thought to layer. Ability a lot lately that the goal really right now, I think the dream is that we're not talking about sustainability in 5 years, that they're just living sustainability. So I also think we should think about, I think we talked a little bit about this, but in 2020, and I've seen a big shift now of like, quite frankly, what is the work the commission should be doing to stand something up in place? But I think the ultimate goal is to be able to hand the village and just put it in it, right? So I think that might be like, what role does the commission play to help stand some strategize around it, but with the goal that we're handing it to the village to build it into our infrastructure? Oh, we help.
It's a really good point because, right, this stuff lives in the commission. It's not a sustainable way to do this.
No.
I mean that from more different definition of sustainability.
I have a suggestion about that. I don't, but you know, maybe if we had like a 1 year forward time frame, we could talk to the village trustees and just talk about, you know, in their planning, how can each department incorporate the sustainability elements. I don't think they're doing that at this point, are they, Seth? To the, you know,
I don't.
Well, it's something.
So, yeah.
It's something we
I
can
mean,
look into.
So like
that
Public Works is obviously by the nature of alleys or but you know, in terms of, and then
but I think if each department had a section where they had to fill in, like, this is what we're doing in terms of sustainability, you know, that's kind of one of the things I'm talking about. Like, that just gets a long-term focus, and it might take years. So, you know, the fire department might say, you know, over the course of the next years, we're going to purchase some electric vehicles or whatever they have purview over. But just one way to put into action what Shannon just said.
Any other comments on this part of it? Because we're at about 8:40. I hope it feels like we accomplished something, because I think we did.
No,
I think
like, you know, if a draft comes back next time, and I'm in search of this thing that I think that Lisa created, that the spreadsheet reminds me of, but I can't find it.
You're having PTSD.
Yeah, but I've just slipped through it, and I can't find the chart I'm thinking of. I'll look for it outside of this meeting. But I think that, sure, if we look at a draft of kind of this high-level one-pager next time, and then I guess in my head, because we've identified waste and energy, is that if Seth can come back with just like a list of all the initiatives under those two categories that's been a little bit, you know, compressed, like the things relating to energy from Lisa's list and from the comprehensive plan and from the whatever – and then at the next meeting, we can make some attempt to, you know, pick those to.
I mean, just to bring in more minds on that, maybe each of us could also think about, you know, like a number, you know, if they were five focusing on greenhouse gas emissions, what are the five things we put in, and then we can incorporate what's in these other things, but I wouldn't limit ourselves to what's already there because we might be missing something.
Okay, I do think this is the hard part, these discussions. Actually, then formatting this and committing to it, you know, that comes next. Any other kind of parting shots?
Before we part, it's always hard for me when we talk about everything to determine later like what there's consensus about. And so I guess I could just pose this as a question. Is there consensus that if our top level, our top priority, at least for the, you know, for the coming year, is greenhouse gas emissions and breaking that down into actionable items and then looking at ways to engage the community in each of those actionable items?
Is there anyone that...
You know, I'm just, since you have that plan up, just go to page 3 so Susan can... Not exactly what I remembered, but maybe she compressed it, right? So essentially what she has down going down the left-hand side is what Seth started to put at the top. And then there's the strategies, and then all of those things are essentially Gary's kind of like engagement with all the different categories, yep. Right? So just before you completely reinvent the wheel, like, again, this is back to the comprehensive thing, and then what we would need to do is pick certain squares and say, for the next year, this square that we're
right.
focusing on.
We'd want to
right. But isn't that kind of similar-ish to...
It's similar-ish,
kind
for
of
sure.
Where, isn't, you know, it breaks down the engagement with all the different... categories of it says outreach, education, and activation, and it runs as just as you.
I guess again, just to reiterate, I always saw this document as very backward looking, and so I'm reluctant to take this as our vision of the future. So my preference would be more to be forward-looking, to take what we know and what we've learned today and to look forward. And then if we want to fill in things from the back to that, that makes sense. But in limiting ourselves to this, I think we're missing out on...
I mean,
feel free to draft it however you want. I'm just saying it's there.
I'm just giving an introduction of why it's not...
No,
but I guess I disagree with that, because Lisa always said, and it says in the opening paragraph, she always said everything should ladder up to greenhouse gas emissions. And the opening paragraph says, you know, our purpose is strategies to enable village residents and institutions to protect the environment by reducing the level of greenhouse gas. But
no, I agree it addresses greenhouse gas emissions, but how we're going to do that, I think, should be a broader.
I think that's okay. I've not heard anybody say that, like, this, that we're taking to 2020 and we're, you know, using that as our, but it is a document that had a lot of work put into it. So it should be a reference for everything that we do. So I don't think anyone's saying, like, let's look backwards. I think we agree, Susan, that, like, we are headed forward on this and we're improving, but, like, yeah, that's a great reference document. I mean, I think we're probably going to find it's actually not that far off from what we're doing.
I would recommend we kind of nailed what our focuses are a lot of the times, but I think this was a great compilation of what's being done and is a lot of it. So I think we think about what are our focus areas moving forward, and it's what are the things we need to lean into, and then there's kind of those areas of what do we just need to keep managing. Right, it's just more.
And at the time that this was done, community solar didn't exist. You know, the whole electric car thing wasn't a thing. So I'm not saying that we should limit it to the content. I just wanted to say that structure and idea of a matrix exists.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be. I already said this in a different way, but have like kind of a champion, like a board member that is maybe a champion. Categories or subcategories, especially if it's like a monitoring, if like we're monitoring what's going on with the county bike path or something, that's not necessarily something every week everyone's going to be thinking about. So having somebody that's sort of the person to check in.
Like an owner. Just quickly back to a question that Susan, is there any disagreement on like our overall goal? I don't think there is. I haven't heard anyone know, say anything contrary to that. So I think we have alignment on that. You have alignment on that. Yeah. I think maybe strategically we'll try to get stuff done between meetings, and we will, you know, we're going to obviously have to do other business. I think we carve out, you know, whatever it is, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of all upcoming meetings. And unless there's something special, to continue to work on this. So, fair.
Mm-hmm.
Was there other business that we needed to chat about?
I had just this time. Might be just, you guys have any input, the email for weekly newsletters or events that we should put on the website. Gary had reached out earlier this week with some recycling questions, and I went down a little rabbit hole and found some resources for harder to recycle materials adding to the website this week.
I was going to ask, LSR is our supplier, right? So we leverage them, even though they don't do these. I had coffee. I mean, I just hate throwing this stuff away. I had a coffee maker, and I got a dehumidifier and other things. And what do you deal with it? And right now it's, tossed in a landfill, but that doesn't make sense. Even though LSR isn't doing it as part of electronics, they know that world. So can we lean on them to provide us with the process that we can put out to people so if they have things and they want to recycle them?
I'd have that. So
no, it doesn't.
When I lived in Colorado, I know, would be, the local couldn't do it, but they said if you had polyesterine, take it to this location in Denver or something, and they recycle.
Seth pulled together some information.
Yeah,
I think I'm more an overall process of how somebody would do it.
I feel like we did that once.
The West Cook Solid Waste Agency doesn't, but the North Cook Solid Waste Agency has, go in, select, trying to recycle or dispose of, and it will plot out a map of the drop-off locations.
You did the link to that also on our website.
And so, yeah, that's one of the things I had sent. And then South Suburban College, I'm through the county, but there is the hard to recycle. CHARM is the acronym.
Oh.
I
would love to know about this.
Link to that and
my Soviet-era style missiles I could bring there.
I don't know if those are accepted.
Right. That's really good to know because really there's.
And there's also Earth 9/11.
There's been times I've ended up with a lot of styrofoam. Oh, yeah. There's a drop off in Crystal Lake or something. I keep the stuff in huge bags, and then if I'm ever heading up north, it's literally a 53-foot trailer behind a VFW, and you open the door yourself and you just throw your polyester in it, and apparently so stuff like that would be really good to know.
Yeah, well, I'd love to know that.
Maybe somewhere down the line we could talk about how to leverage that. I know you're part of, don't you have a community, the Keystone Triangle, that if you're going to do something like that, put it out and fill up
right.
The whole car.
Right. Well, it is a group that communicates a lot. So yeah, within the community.
So just a quick question. So I may have missed this, but first, Susan, thank you for taking a crack at that one pager. I know it's going to be great. And then did we end up with consensus that Seth's going to come back at the next meeting with these consolidated lists of things related to energy and things related to waste?
You were going to take all the different items and categorize them.
Yeah, I was going to try and categorize and consolidate this list. And
by
I'll
topic.
Shorten
yeah.
the some of these
right.
all.
And I guess I would just say if you don't have time to do all of it, I would start with the energy and the waste things per Susan's suggestion.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful.
Great. Sorry again, I was late. Thanks, guys, for your efforts. Next meeting is June 13th?
June 13th.
So I guess more to come on all that.
Because you had mentioned styrofoam, the state bill is dead.
Is it dead?
Nice. You
qualified.
It's it it got sent back to the...
It was modified not to include polyester.
It was initially amended so that it only applied to state facilities, and then they still didn't take action on it. Nope, it's sent back to assignments committee. Things due if they pass their deadline. And but I did see Oak Park is banning it along with their...
And they are in conversation with Don Harmon, and they're hoping to use Oak Parks as the state, you know, sort of
standard. Or like at least maybe.
Would be awesome. But if they can't get this through at the
state
agency level, that doesn't give me a lot of hope.
All right. We'll see what happens. Can we have a motion to adjourn? Second. Agree with the second.
Chairperson Simon?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrett?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
We're adjourned.
All right.
It is 8:49.
Good job, y'all. Thank you.